Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. As it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Would you please bow your head with me? Enlighten our minds, we pray, O God, by your Spirit, who proceeds from you, so that just as you have promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. When my children were small, we had a subscription to a children's magazine that, of course, since it was a children's magazine, had articles and activities for children to do, and probably some of you have done those activities in this very same magazine. One of the activities was called Hidden Pictures. And every month the magazine would come and one of my kids would come sit in my lap and we would race to see who could find the hidden pictures first. And the overall picture that we were looking for was just a common everyday scene, just a drawing. And it might contain a house and a yard and a picket fence and some plants and a tree maybe. But hidden within those ordinary objects of a yard, for instance, within the bark on a tree, you might see a picture of a spoon. If you look closely, you might see it, or a pair of scissors or a cup. Just little things that children would know. You find those objects hidden there. But the neat thing about it is they're just hidden in plain sight. They're right there. If you look at it properly, you can see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. Some of those things we never did find. And we had to wait till the next month's issue came out and where it had the answers. And we'd look there and find out, oh, that's where it is. And once you saw it, well, it was easy to see the next time. Unless you're like me and forget, and then you can't ever find it again until you look again at the answers. But once you see it, why, it makes perfect sense where it is. Hidden things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where our lesson that we just read a few minutes ago is found, St. Paul is talking about something that is hidden. What I would like to do is reread what we just read, and I'd like to add a couple of verses to it, though. Our lesson begins with verse 9 of chapter 2. I'd like to start with verse 7 and read through verse 10. And here's what we read if we do that. We read these words. Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom." There it is. There's something hidden. It's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's not just all of his wisdom. It's a certain part of his wisdom, "which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now here's verse 9, where we started. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." And we'll end right there. When I first read this passage and I read those words, "eye is not seen and ear is not heard, the things that nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him," I thought, oh, that's got to be talking about heaven. I get to preach about heaven. But as I began to read the context, it became clear to me that wasn't talking so much about what we will encounter in heaven as it is talking about the things that God had to do to get us to heaven. And what Paul is doing in that verse 9 there, he's actually paraphrasing an Old Testament passage, an Old Testament prophecy. And he paraphrases it. And it looks to us like it's talking about the future. Whoops, there from St. Paul. Sorry, there's a little step in here, and I just stepped off of it. I thought it went all the way to the edge, but it doesn't. Don't you hate that? Now I've lost my place. But it's talking about what God had to do to get us to heaven. And I think it says two things. First of all, it says God had a plan. A plan, and verse 7 says that that plan began before the ages. He had a plan to save your soul. What a neat thing that is when you really think about it. In fact, that's just about the neatest thing there is when you think about it. I can't think of anything neater than that. God had a plan to save my soul. He was thinking about me way back in eternity. I ask myself sometimes, am I even worth saving? And I say when I listen to my conscience, no, you're not worth saving. I've listened to the commandments. I hear the second commandment that Jesus gave, which summarizes all of those last seven commandments, when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think about that, and maybe you can think about that right now too. Have I loved the people around me? How about my little brother and sister? Have I treated them as well as I treat myself? My parents, my children, my friends. How about the people that I don't even want to be my friends? How have I treated them? I think that God's plan of salvation is not the only thing hidden. I think some of us are pretty good hiders. We can hide our own sins pretty well. From other people anyway, but we cannot hide them from God. He knows them all. He knows the secret sins that only you know about. The sins hidden within your heart. He knows it all. That's why this is so amazing. He knows it all. Everything. He has known it from all eternity. And he still wants you. Sometimes maybe you've gotten the idea that you finally sinned so much, you just blew it so badly that now God is disappointed with you and he's never going to want you again. Nothing could be further from the truth, because you know what? It's impossible for you to disappoint God. You haven't surprised him with anything you've done. He knew it all before you were born. How can you disappoint somebody who knows it all and he still wants you? And so he was already making plans to clean you up. So first of all, this passage tells us God had a plan to deal with your sin. Secondly, our passage tells us that this plan was hidden. Now, I think it was hidden not so much because God was trying to hide it. It was just because, and he says that, it never entered the heart of man to think of it. It was beyond our conception, beyond our ability to think of it. We couldn't imagine it. That's why it was hidden from us. There are a bunch of religions out there. Let me ask you a question. Did Buddha dream up the idea that God could send his son into the world? Did Mohammed ever conceive of the idea that if God's son were to come into the world, that he could take our place under the law? Did it ever occur to the Jews that Jesus was taking the world's sin upon himself? Did some Christian invent a scheme whereby Jesus would rise from the dead And because of that, God could declare you not guilty. God could look at you and see not those sins that are all over you, but perfection. Because that's the way it is now when God looks at you. He sees Christ Jesus. He sees perfection. No human being could have thought of it. No human being could conceive of it. Only God could conceive of it. Amazing. That is an amazing plan, isn't it? His plan to save sinners, to save you. It's beyond any idea that anybody ever had that God would love people who rebelled against him so much that he himself would bear their sins upon the cross. Wow. You think about the things that cause you shame. They don't exist. You can turn loose of that shame. You can stop being ashamed of those things. He's taken it away. It is inconceivable that God would treat us so differently than the way we treat others, isn't it? That he could find somebody like me wallowing in the filth of sin, somebody like you, and walk up to you with a smile on his face, put his arm around you and say, "Here, let me get you cleaned up." That's what he did. Well, then if only God could think up a plan like this, if only he could conceive of it, if only he could pull it off, how come we believe it? This thing that is inconceivable. That's where verse 10 comes in. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. There it is. It's inconceivable to us, but, well, not when God enlightens our eyes, is it? And that means that we have a really big thank you to say. Would you please bow your head with me? Almighty and everlasting God, thank you that by your Holy Spirit you have revealed to us the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask you that you would so enliven our hearts that we might sincerely receive your word and not make light of it or hear it without fruit, but that we may fear you and daily grow in faith in your mercy and finally obtain eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.